Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 505, I'm welcoming to the show my friend, Logan Wolfram.
Anything that you know that they already want to do, then be the place where they can do it. Like, they're going to gather around stuff anyway, so figure out, like, maybe your kid is, like, super into pickleball. Like, tape off a dang pickleball court in your street, you know? Like, figure out what is the thing that your kid is into and, like, lean into that to, like, be the place that they want to go to do that.
If one of your goals for 2025 is to host more in your home, then I hope this conversation with my friend Logan gives you the support that you need to do that. So Logan and I met years ago when she hosted a blogging conference. I watched her gather people well then, and I've continued to watch as she's hosted people, whether it's in her mountain home or in her tiny house or with her teen boys and his friends. And so I thought she would be a great person to kind of just guide us and help you figure out how best to do that in your home. She's also sharing some go-to recipes. And I know as moms, we're always like, ugh, I need some recipes. These may be more complex. They're not the simple recipes, but they are slam dunk dinners for dudes is what I call them. We're like, these are not the healthy recipes, but they're winners for her boys, teen boys, especially. Those are linked in the show notes. And if you don't know where show notes are, wherever you listen to your podcast, if you look at the episode and it should say see more, you can scroll down and you will see not only a description of the show, but links to things we talk about. We do that for every episode. If you've never checked it out, it's also on my website, heathermcfadden.com, for every episode. So just a little tip there if you didn't know. But she has PDFs of these recipes there in the show notes. And I've already made her bread, the loaf, gumbo. Oh, my stars, it was so yummy. And her brownies. So check that out. But let's get right to it. Here we go.
Are we really dancing?
We're always dancing, Logan. Logan, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I say back. I know I've interviewed you for Declare.
You interviewed me. I think you might have interviewed me years ago when my book came out.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while. Gosh.
We go way back. And, you know, it's like, tell me you're in your late 40s without telling me you're in your late 40s, that coordinating this interview was around our Pilates classes and our boys going back to college.
Yes, it was. It was. In fact, I moved my Pilates class because I realized, oh, I'm going to go to a harder one today.
Ooh.
Yeah, 2025 coming for you.
Oh, man. I was just happy to be there. I was happy to be there. Okay, so here's the story, Morning Glory. I've known Logan because she and I used to, she used to host a blogging conference that I would attend. Blogging is such a weird word, but y'all, it was a thing. And it's probably making a comeback.
It's not even a thing. It was a thing before podcasting was a thing because I knew you when you blogged and didn't podcast.
Truth. This is true. And this is what, why I wanted to have Logan come on the show is she's the host with the most. She would host that with the most. It was an amazing event. And then I've just watched from afar. And even when you lived in a tiny house, you made it a home. You did the most with the space that you had. And thinking of like my second book, Right Where You Belong, and just occupying your God-given space, I just feel like you do that well. And so I want to go to experts. I want to go to mentors. And you're going to mentor us.
Okay.
On how to be a host. Even like your, you know, is it a lake house or a mountain house? Mountain house.
Yeah. Well, they're not mine. To be clear, they're my parents.
Okay.
One side of the family has a lake house. One side has a mountain house. We take people to both.
And you know how to host even there. Like, I'm always impressed when people can feed a lot of people. And it's not just gross, like people like it.
Yeah, so I do.
So tell me a little bit, like, how was your mom this kind of a person?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me more about that.
Let me just say, first of all, my mom definitely is this kind of person. My sister is this kind of person now too. I think growing up, like, my mom stayed home with us and we were just always kind of like doing stuff, and she has creative friends that liked to do stuff. So I mean, I remember going to one friend's house and we turned it into like a 1950s like diner and wore roller skates and made hot dogs and hamburgers one day. And like, remember they had one of those little straw things, you know, where they all come out.
Yes.
So like we would do that kind of stuff with friends growing up. My parents were always like having people over for dinner when I was younger. My dad is like super into bluegrass music. And so when I was younger, somehow my parents ended up hosting like these bluegrass musicians that would come to town. And my mom would be like, well, I mean, probably you're on the road all the time. Do you want a home cooked meal? And so like she would make a bunch of food and like these bluegrass musicians would like come to my house and eat dinner. And so like there was just kind of that happening. But also it was never like super difficult. It was never like really fancy. It was just always like good food. My mom to this day is a great cook. She tries all kinds of different stuff. And then when I was in like in college and right after college, I've done all the weird things. I mean, like you name a bizarre job that's like unrelated and somehow I've done it. But somehow in his goodness, like the Lord still has like put all these pieces together, you know? And so when I was in college, I was the social chair for my sorority. So like I did events back then. And then
I feel like if you're, you know, I don't know if people are anti-Greek life. Here's a story I'm going to tell you. People I know who are in sororities know how to throw events.
Well, yeah.
And I did not, I missed that. I missed that. I mean, I was a PARA is what they called it. And I knew how to,
you knew how to stop the events.
I was in charge of our pick-a-dates. That was a thing. Have you ever heard of a pick-a-date? Our entire floor would go on a date together and like the girls on the floor, we'd pick a date from any guy on the campus. And we would do like, I was in charge of planning like a group date.
Okay.
But like an event where it's like a party, you got to know how much food to get and da-da-da-da. I feel like sororities really teach you that.
Well, yeah, you kind of do. But I guess I've just always liked gathering people anyway.
Yeah. So it's like part of your personality.
Like it's just kind of, I don't know. I think it's partly how God wired me. But so like I did that. Well, then also when I was in college, I worked in a restaurant. So like I learned some cooking kind of stuff. You know, you're working in a restaurant and a lot of that too. I mean, because I was not like a trained chef. So I learned how to do like prep work. Like I was doing all the prep.
You're like a sous, chef.
I mean, I just got to do lots of things because in the restaurant industry, there's always people that don't show up for work. So like I got to do more stuff because I did show up for work. So that was like special extra skill that I got to have. Timeliness. We'll teach you things. So anyway, like I'd kind of done all of that stuff and I've always just liked hosting people. It's funny because I feel like now in the season that I'm in, it's just different. Like the way that I've hosted people over time. I mean, like way too many people now in my house, sometimes depending upon what the makeup of that is, can stress me out. If there's like 5 million little kids and somebody's going to let their kid draw on my wall, like that's not so fun for me anymore. but like, I think, I don't know. I just like having people in my house. I like using my house. I mean, I hosted, I think, you know, I've done an art show in my house the last couple of years and we had like thousands of people come through. So like, it does not stress me out to have people up in my space. And so, yeah, it's something that I've just always liked it. My family did it. And so I think I come by it honest.
So I think there's this thing where, you know, this in the book industry, people write books and it's about what they're good at. And then you feel bad because it's like, well, that comes easily to them. And then I feel like I should be like them. And then I'm beating myself up. Like, why am I not more like them? But at the same time, I also think you can learn from people that comes easily to them. Mm-hmm. So while I'm not Logan, I don't have Logan's experience and I didn't work in a restaurant and yada, yada, yada. I feel like we can't just say, well, that's not my gifting. That's not my story. So I'm not going to host.
Agreed.
I think there's a gathering around the table that Jesus kind of modeled, and to be like him is to gather. And so I want to do this well. And I feel like we were better at a certain season and that kind of fell away. And I want to do it more again. So I want to learn from you, Logan.
Okay.
Even if it comes naturally to you.
It does come naturally to me, but there are things that I think that people can learn how to do to give themselves confidence in this area. Yeah. And I think for one, I mean, first of all, people should know I have two boys. I'm the mom of two boys. I've got a freshman in college that just left literally an hour ago. So I was like dabbing my face, trying to not cry.
And we did this so that you'd have something to think about other than that.
And then I have a freshman in high school also. So, and Heather and I were talking about it. Like, we've got all these boys around. We do boy things all the time. And one thing that I know about boys, and here's funny, it's girls too, because I remember, is they like to eat. And so I have found that I just always have food here. Like, my pantry is like stupid stocked. I could walk you in it and be horrified because it's disorganized. But I always have.
Tell me your top five. Top five things you always buy at like a Costco or a Sam's.
I always keep chips and salsa here. Always.
Oh, yes.
Always. Mateo salsa and giant bags of chips. I always have chips and salsa. I never let myself run out of like, I usually have some kind of like sausage around and like cheesy stuff, because anybody can serve chips and salsa. But like, I make this dip where you just like, you put up a bunch of sausage, like cook up sausage, and then dump in a couple of cans of Rotel and some cream cheese. And my boys call it football dip. And so literally you just make a giant amount of that. And it's like, it tastes kind of like that. It doesn't have Velveeta or anything in it. It's literally cream cheese, sausage, and Rotel tomatoes.
And when you say sausage, you mean like kind of like ground beef, but like a pork version? Yeah,
like breakfast sausage kind of stuff. I usually always keep sausage around.
Because I'm picturing links. You're not saying links.
Like, no, and when they come in big links at Aldi, I cut the casings off and flip those suckers out and mash it all up. So, okay. Not like a smoked sausage you can't do that with, but like, you know, raw sausage. So I just buy like the little, you know, the little thingy of sausage and keep that around.
Do you keep it in the freezer or the fridge?
Both.
Okay.
I always have extra. Okay. So our Costco has this kind of sausage I'm obsessed with called Goolsby's. That's really good, like breakfast sausage, but listen, in a pinch, mash it up and you go to town with it. So I normally keep that around. Whenever I make stuff, usually I make an absurd amount of it. So that I've got stuff in a freezer. I have a full stand-up deep freezer. And so I keep stuff in my freezer.
This is what I need. This is my hashtag goals. I need a second fridge.
I don't want to like tell people things that make you think I don't have a deep freezer and I can't do this or whatever. But like, these are tips of things I have found that is helpful. I make bread, like this homemade bread. Listen, I've got some recipes that I'm going to give you. I type them up and we have to figure out how we want people to get them. Like, I don't know if they message me or what, but like,
well, if you give them to me, I can upload them to the website and they can link. Unless you have a website, you could put them on your website. We could put a link.
I mean, I have a website, but let's talk about the last time that I updated it. Was like,
Login? If you know the login, you could just upload the PDFs and then
how to get into my own website anymore.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
Hack it. It's a good one.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
But this bread, y'all, I made it last night.
You did?
I wanted to try it out before we talked.
And?
And, okay, one thing, I wasn't quite sure if it was the yeast, when you add the warm water, if it was bubbly enough, I was like,
okay.
I kind of just sniffed it and smelled like bread. And I was like, I think it's bubbly enough.
It gets like foam. It looks like sea foam that washes up on the shore. Yeah.
No, it wine wasn't that foamy.
Was it old yeast? Because yeast will go bad.
It was, the date was still good. I don't know how old it was.
It's really fine. Yeah.
The water might've been too warm. I've done that before where I like scald
it.
Kill it. The other thing is I didn't have parchment paper.
Okay.
So I was a little nervous because I was using my Le Creuset. It's like an oval.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, it was kind of sticking to the bottom, but I got it out.
Okay.
And big hit. Ate the whole thing. No problem.
Right. So good.
So good.
We call it at my house, the loaf. Basically, that's what the boys call it, the loaf. And so I literally wrote on the recipe, the loaf. It was originally from the New York Times. And the original recipe was like 3 pages long. I cook a lot. It had too much information and it stressed me out. It took me a while to even get it because it just was a lot of information. And so anyway, once I condensed it down, I wrote down how to do it. And now if it's on one page, like I can fit it on a screenshot on my phone. So once I give it to you the way that I gave it to you, it's pretty easy. Parchment paper will keep it from sticking to stuff. And then you don't have to wash a dish, which also like, let's celebrate that. So anyways, I make the bread a lot. Boys love hot bread and they think it's the greatest. One thing that I have found with boys, my oldest son would have boys here all the time. When he was first in like kind of the beginning of high school and sort of towards the end of middle school, he didn't want to have people here. And I need y'all to hear that because he didn't want to have people here because he thought we were not very cool. And he also, especially at the beginning of high school, you know, I mean, let's be honest, once kids start driving, this is when like alcohol enters the picture and it never enters the picture with our permission at my house. And by that, I mean, I don't turn a blind eye to it. I'm a turd about it. Like,
people walk in with their Sonic cup or their Yeti cup.
I'm like
doing a cup check.
Sniff it. Yeah. But also, so we did have one incident where there were a couple of guys that came here in a state, shall we say. And we have a rule that like, if you come to my house in a state, I will call your people and they will come and get you because I'm not dealing with your shenanigans. So anyway, in that instance, those people's people were out of town. So we still had the people here and my husband read them all the Riot Act. So let me just, I'm telling you all of this to say, and we made a fire outside and made them sit outside until they were in a better state. So anyway, like all to say, like we have really staunch rules against like about what we will and will not allow in our home. And I've got a zero tolerance like policy on that one. So that being said, my son originally, and he makes good choices in general, but if he doesn't, I don't know about some of those. But like in general, I think he just felt like we had too many rules. And we do. We have a fair amount of rules. But also, good, clean fun is actually the most fun. And so I think something that I really have kind of realized is that in a space where kids know that they're just simply not going to come up against those pressures, they can just kind of be themselves. And so I think maybe once we sort of establish that, like, yeah, that tomfoolery is not going to be happening here, and I will kill you if you do, then it's sort of like, okay, well, if we're going to have fun here, we're going to have to do something else. And so I think like one of the things that I sort of always said was like, yes, as much as possible. If he would ask if he could have people over, yes. The answer is yes. If it was inconvenient for me, if I didn't feel like it, if I was like, oh, I just took off my bra and I don't want to put it back on, you know, like I think I just, you just say yes. Say yes as much as you possibly can, because then you're creating an environment that people know that they are always welcome. And so you also then can just kind of transition to realize like, last minute, you're not going to be prepared for it. Like teenagers, you're just never prepared for what they're going to throw at you anyway. So like, let's not try to over prepare our homes. Like our house would be messy. Our house would be like disorganized. I would be cobbling something random together. Sometimes I would like order an Instacart, or Jeremy would like run out and buy some extra food last minute. Like if we knew some boys were going to come over. I mean, I have pulled out like leftovers for them before. I make a pork roast, and I'm giving you that recipe too. But I make a pork roast and we make tacos with it. If you always have chips and salsa around, listen, pull this pork out and spread it all over and put some cheese, and you've got like killer nachos all of a sudden. And so like, so there's things like that that I would kind of do just to kind of be prepared that like you could feed a bunch of boys at any given time. And then after a while, like we do have a pool table in my house, and I thought for the longest time, like we should just get rid of this because no one is playing it. But like, I don't know. I think just over time, once like kids started to kind of come, like they would go down and play pool, or there's like this old rusty basketball goal that we have here. And the guys would like go outside and play basketball. And, you know, like, I think they just would like find stuff to do, you know? Yeah. And I just feed them all the time. And I want to say too, that it's not hard to feed a bunch of boys, and anybody can order a pizza. And I don't want to say like, we have done that before, but they really like homemade food. They really like homemade food. And so I don't know what to tell you other than like, figure out how to make a couple of things and make them well.
Let's go back to the pantry. You said the chips and the salsa.
Yeah.
You said the pork that goes, that's in the freezer and the fridge.
Yeah, the pork.
Yeah. What other things do you keep in the pantry so you're ready? So, I mean, I know I get the Instacart order.
Lots of chips and things.
Like little bags of chips?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Pretzels, hummus. I make brownies, which I will send you the recipe for that too. I make homemade brownies. And so I always, always, always have, it's unsweet baker's chocolate. It's just nice. Like this orange. It's Baker's brand unsweet chocolate. It's a 4 ounce bar. I buy that like 3 or 4 at a time, and I always have that. And I always have butter and eggs. And so my brownies are like butter, eggs, chocolate, vanilla, flour, sugar. That's it. And so and they will polish off a pan of those brownies in like 5 minutes. So like I try to keep stuff like that around that I can like last minute whip something up. And I think they know that at like 9 o'clock when I'm wearing my pajamas, if they're hungry, they know that I will get up and I will make them something. And so that's kind of some of it too. Now, listen, I'm not going to make something at like 12 if I've done fallen asleep, but, I also buy my younger son and his friends love Trader Joe's like orange chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we learned with them how to turn off the gas on a stove after my house was like flooded with natural gas and I woke up smelling it one morning.
So they were making it on their own?
They made it on their own, which I let them do. And that was a valuable lesson. So now they know because the fire department came at 5 a.m. so you just have to realize that like stuff is going to go wrong, and that's okay too. Like it's just, you have a bunch of boys anywhere and there's going to be like, I think we've had like injuries before. I don't think we've had like stitches or anyone that was like not my own child here, but like there's just kind of shenanigans, but they can be clean shenanigans.
Do they ever invite the girls over too, or is it pretty much boy hangouts?
Both of my boys, like tend to really just hang with the boys. Like my guys, they're both pretty like low drama guys. And so they both, are athletes. And so they tend to just hang out more with the guys.
Yeah.
There have been like Walker's group of friends, my older one, there were some girls that like some of his buddies hung out with. And so a lot of times like those girls would have stuff. And so he would go on occasion to that, but he would rather, both of my boys are very happy just like being with the guys and like horsing around and, you know, playing wiffle ball in the rain. They would rather do that than I think have to deal with like girl drama. So that, I mean, that's how it is in my house. So
yeah,
if they wanted to, there definitely have been girls that have come like, Walker had some really good girlfriends, like from the youth group. So that would be kind of like a mixed group that would come and hang out. But yeah, I mean, in general, it's mostly guys that are coming to my house.
Have you ever seen these moms who make like pancake breakfast dinners after the football game? Are you a breakfast late at night person?
Heard of that. My guys always went to the Waffle House after a football game. So they were having pancakes. That was like one of their just kind of things that they did. And yeah. So, but like if you can figure out how to be that house and people want to come and do it, like totally do it. We've had stuff like where we've had prior to a football game, I'll make like a big pot of taco soup. It's kind of like chili, but easier. And so like we'll have people come over for that.
And you're going to give us that recipe?
I haven't typed that one up yet, but I can give it to you. So I'm actually working on, I decided yesterday when I was typing up all this stuff for you, I think I might like make a cookbook of a lot of these
yes.
things. So stay tuned for that. But I think what I have found is stuff that can make a lot is really helpful. Like make a taco soup. I discovered the other day on the interwebs how to make a ton of eggs that are kind of like fried eggs at one time. Did you know that you can put them on a sheet pan? You can preheat your oven to 350, put them on a sheet pan, spray before you put them, spray like cooking spray on there, and then just crack the eggs on top, salt and pepper them, put them in the oven for like 8 minutes, and they come out perfect. Like runny in the middle, whites cooked, and then you just can scoop them off. So you can make like a ton at one time.
Have you ever made sheet pan pancakes?
No.
There's this gal, she has four young boys I found on Instagram. And she uses that high protein pancake mix that I think Costco sells. And she like gives the recipe on this Instagram. And I made it when we were with friends at a lake house this summer. I was in charge of breakfast and it's great.
Is it good?
And you just like can cut them into squares and like serve it.
But
and they were great.
Is it all like the fluffy middle of the pancake or do you get crispy edges?
Cause I like if you have the edges, then you'll get the edge piece. But like you could add blueberries to some and chocolate chips to some and make like a mix on the sheet pan. Anyway.
Oh, nice.
If you did that and then you did your fried eggs, you could cook a lot of people.
You can cook a lot of people. Yeah.
Breakfast.
So I have found we do more dinner. And then also, you know, with teenage boys too, by the time that they wake up, it's like 10:30, 11.
Mine are just coming down.
Your kids was still sleeping.
No, literally it's 1:10. Hi.
Yeah.
He said, is there food? No. You can get food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Food. Mm-hmm. Food.
We're talking literally just talking about it. That's why I'm laughing, Price. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boys like food. So yeah. I have a few things. I also would say one thing that I discovered is find out your kids' friends' favorite snacks.
That's sweet.
Like, find out what are the things that like each one of them really likes. And then find out what kind of like their favorite meals and stuff are too. So like I know that Walker's friend Johnny likes tacos the best when I make tacos. Harrison and Gabe really like when I make gumbo. And Hammond and Collins and all of them actually really like when I make butter chicken. So like they all have like their favorite things. But then what I have discovered is that like I would make stuff for different you know, just different times, like I would make something or Walker would say to me, hey, mom, make this like, you know, if your kid has something that you make that he like specifically loves, then like make that thing for all of their friends. And so so that's kind of what I started doing is Walker would be like, hey, mom, will you make this for, you know, my friends? And so I would do that or he would take leftovers to school for lunch. And then like I would send him too much because you know, they get hangry if you don't. And so then his friends would like eat some of his leftovers. And so that's how they would try some of the things that I made.
It's like lessons in chemistry. Did you see that?
No.
She's sending these amazing meals, her daughter to lunch, and then a girl's stealing her lunch. And that's how she gets her own cooking show.
Well, there I mean, that's amazing.
That's so, how you got the kids to come over. Just send
that's
extra.
How I got the kids to come over. Legitimately, he was
that's
like,
hilarious.
They were eating his leftover food. And so one time, every time I would send that I would make this butter chicken, Walker would be like, hey, will you send a little bit extra? And then one time he was like, hey, mom, can I just take Harrison his own like butter chicken, you know, for lunch? And so I started doing that. So sometimes I would just like send a whole extra, or like I made, you know, tacos. I'd send a whole bunch of those.
Well, in butter chicken, people, you might be thinking in your mind like butter and chicken. It's more like an Indian, like tikka masala kind of thing, right?
Kind of like tikka masala. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going to give us that recipe? I am. That.
And I have written down to give you pork tacos, which I make. And when I make them, and I wrote a little note on there, I buy the giant like 15 pound like Boston butt from Costco, and I have two big like Dutch ovens, and I make it all at one time because I am also a fan of not having to do extra work. And so I would rather do a little bit on the front end and way less on the back end. And so then I vacuum seal it and toss it in my freezer.
A vacuum seal. Okay.
I vacuum seal it. If you don't have a vacuum sealer, stick in a dang freezer bag, squeeze the air out and throw it in there. If you have boys, it's not going to be in there long enough to like get back anyways.
So pork tacos.
I'm going to give you pork tacos. I am going to give you the butter chicken, which takes a while to make, but I have figured out how to do it in a little bit less time. And then I have the loaf for you. What's the other one? I have something else. Maybe like beef stroganoff. I'm trying to remember that I make in the Instant Pot.
So like soup.
Gumbo.
Gumbo. Making it this Thursday because it's supposed to
chicken
snow.
Chicken and sausage gumbo. It is so good. And I even put a little diagram because you have to learn how to make Cajun roux.
I saw that, like an hour of.
It takes like an hour.
An hour of stirring?
Mm-hmm.
Do you turn on a show? Like, what is this situation?
I mean, you really have to just be standing there stirring for like an hour. So when I do that, I mean, here's what I'm saying is that like there's certain things that are a pain in the butt to do. Do all the hard work at one time. So literally, if you know that you're going to make gumbo, let me just tell you, don't make enough roux for just one time. Like make like four times the amount of roux, freeze it in 1 cup increments. And then that way, the next time you want to make gumbo, all you have to do is pop it straight out of your freezer.
So you can freeze roux.
You can freeze roux. I Googled it. A long time ago. And so I freeze the roux once it's already done because it takes so long to do. So then I can make gumbo anytime and it's not any harder than making any other soup.
The people listening that don't know what a roux is are like, what the heck are you talking about? Flour, water.
It is flour and butter. And you basically just keep stirring. It gets to the point where it looks almost black, but you don't want it to heat too fast or you will burn it. It will smoke up your kitchen kind of while you're doing it, but you just have to keep stirring and scraping the bottom the whole time. And basically what it does is it makes this like really rich, delicious broth. And you put it in with like, mine is with chicken broth. I don't really know. It's a Cajun thing. And I have a friend that lived in New Orleans and she used to make this. And so I learned how to make roux. But there's different kinds that you can make if you do not cook it enough. It'll have kind of this like sort of like floury mouth feel, you know, when you're kind of like that.
Like too dry. It needs to like get all of, is the moisture of the butter doing something?
I don't know what it does. Okay. It's just a fat in there and it's good. But then basically like you're sauteing peppers and onions and celery in that. And so it just, I don't really know the science behind it. I just know it makes it really, really good. And so you got to do it. But I did put a diagram in there because even still, even though I've done it a bajillion times, I always pull up that same diagram. And I've got a link on the PDF for the gal whose website I go to that makes the roux and that had the picture. So if you want to learn how to make a roux.
What is this diagram?
It shows you the color that it's supposed to be. It's like, you know how when you use like, what color coffee are you?
Yeah.
Like, lots of cream, or do you like your coffee black? It's like that, but it's with roux. So you can, and I circled on there, like what color your roux is supposed to be.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
See, this is the thing that I feel like, I don't know what it hit me this year at Thanksgiving. I realized I'm such a flibbertigibbet when it comes to recipes. I'm always trying new things. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I don't even keep track. What did I make before? Such a waste of time. That I don't have my signature things.
Yeah.
Aunt Heather's blah. So I have like doubled down. I'm getting some signature things that my nieces and nephews are like, oh, I can't wait to have Aunt Heather's. And I made brown buttered chocolate chip cookies, and I make this cranberry salsa my friend Sarah. Anyway, I gotta have my things. So I need to have a meal that my boys are like, I love when my mom makes this.
Yes. Find the thing and ask them. Like, I will ask my
boys. Mine don't have anything. They're like, you're terrible.
Well, what do they like if you were to go out to eat? What do they want to go eat?
Steak.
Figure out how to make some steak.
I do. I know. It's just not
make like a flank steak, because then it's big and you can slice it and feed more people with it. Like,
I did find a good flank steak.
You don't have to buy a filet for every boy that's coming over. Don't do that. They will eat you out of house and home. On a random occasion, Walker has one buddy whose dad will make them steaks on a random occasion.
Yeah.
But I don't even try to compete with Wally on that, because he's got that down.
That's Wally's thing.
That's Wally's thing.
Do you find that there is competition between, like, I feel like of my one son's friends group, there are certain houses they always go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like I can cut into that. Like, I feel like it's already pretty established.
Oh, well, A, you're not cutting in. It's your kid too, so you can do it. B, yes, there are definitely more, like, certain friends whose, like, houses they go to more often. My younger son, he's got some friends that are twins, and so that mom has them over a lot. One is because she's got just the two boys who are twins, and so, like, I think it's just easy for her to kind of have everyone over there. And so he goes there a lot. Also, when they're not driving, that changes it too. And so a lot of times it's like, who is located closer together? So we live farther out than my younger son's buddies. And so I end up driving him across town because they're closer together. Once they start driving, they just kind of go wherever they're going to go. And so Walker would just be like, hey, can we have some friends over? Something else, something I never thought that I would pay for in my life that I still can't believe that we've paid for, is they like my boys. I told you they're like sports guys. They like watching these UFC fights, okay, which I find.
Yeah. I've had to bear witness. Yes, I know.
It's so bad. But one of his buddies and his dad were going to this like Buffalo Wild Wings to like watch this UFC fight because they would have it on for free. And so Walker like wanted to go, I think his junior year. And I was like, no, because they're on until like 1:30 in the morning. And I was like, you're not going to like go do that and be coming home at like 1:30 to watch this fight and whatever. And so he was like, well, I mean, it's like, you can't watch it otherwise. You have to pay to rent it. So we paid to rent it. So we ended up being like the house where the boys would come. And we would pay, I mean, y'all, it was like $90 to rent this stupid UFC fight. But it's kind of at the end of the day, like it was worth it to me. It was worth it to me because they would all come to watch the UFC fight. I would make a ton of snacks. I would make brownies. I would make like the football dip. I would make, you know, a random dinner or whatever, nachos, and they would come because it's something that they already want to do. So like anything that you know that they already want to do, then be the place where they can do it. Like they're going to gather around stuff anyway. So figure out, like, maybe your kid is like super into pickleball. Like tape off a dang pickleball court in your street, you know, like figure out what is the thing that your kid is into and like lean into that to like be the place that they want to go to do that. And there will be sacrifices involved. I mean, like we would maybe not go on a date at some point because we were paying for a dang UFC fight. So it's like, so there are, don't sacrifice your marriage on the altar of UFC fight for sure. But I just feel like there's going to be things that like you do so that they can have a space to do it.
Do you find like around here, there are certain houses, they are legit mansions. We're talking $20 million homes, multiple lots. Lots of accoutrements that come along with that. It is impossible to compete with the space. Or like, do you feel like you have your own room where they can watch the UFC fighting, or it's just your living room? And then do you and your husband stick around, or do you head upstairs or go to your bedroom? Like space-wise, I know people say it doesn't matter, but it seems to feel like it matters when they have a choice of like our own space in this own house separate from the main house where the parents aren't. You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're going to compete with that no matter what. I mean, we have some friends who have, they have a beautiful home, you know, have a really cool pool table situation, have a pool, like basketball outside. I mean, they've got all the things that you can go and do. And so in this house, yes, we have space for that. Like, but I want to say too, I don't really think that is going to be a factor sometimes, but it is not going to rob you of the ability to have kids to your home. They do want to kind of hang out. So like we don't sit up there, or I don't sit up there while they're watching UFC fight. Like I will take them some brownies up there and I will like watch it for like 5 minutes and then I will depart because they don't want me to be up there. And I don't want to really either. So, you know, in that situation, like I would give them their space, but also, and you mentioned earlier, and what people who know me may know this, but people who don't would not. At one point in time, several years ago, we were renovating a house and we lived in a tiny house in the backyard. It was supposed to be like 8 months that we were going to live in this tiny house. And by tiny, I mean, it was 650 square feet. My oldest came into puberty at that time. Additionally, it was during COVID. So everyone was like at home from work, at home from school. We were like living on top of each other. And at one point, my husband bought on sale like a screen tent thing for like $50. And we put it outside because we're like, oh, it's like a whole extra room that we have now. And so like, but I have pictures of having little boys to my house at that time. I would just go in my little room and I could see them because it was, the whole thing was like 30 feet long. So like I could, the whole house was 30 feet long, so I could see. And they were like sitting on these little stairs that we had that went up to this little loft space that my boys slept. They were like on the floor. They would come over and hang out still, because we just made space and I would still make tons of stuff for them. I would still make food for them. And so I want to say like that the space doesn't matter. It doesn't always matter. There are going to be times that they are going to choose to go to the house with the pool. There are going to be times that they choose to go somewhere else. They just are. But like, we cannot afford to be offended by that, for one, or to feel like I don't have a right to bust in because there's this situation going on where they've kind of got it sorted out. Bull hockey. Like, you can do that. Like, find your thing that you want to make, figure out a thing that your kids are wanting to do, and be the one that does it. Like, Be the one that does it. And if that means you create some awkward scenario in your backyard, do it. It doesn't matter. Like, get some cornhole boards out there. Like, there are things that you can do anytime. Boys like a fire. Like, get a solo stove, or, you know, just have a fire in your backyard. Burn a hole in your grass and it'll be fine. Like, it will be fine. Boys like to throw things into a fire.
Neighborhood catches on fire because Logan said, just start a fire in your backyard.
But listen, spray water around. You can call the fire department.
You can put some stones down. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, for real, like, think about things that your kids love to do and, like, lean into those things. Like, when I try to force something, it does not work.
Never works.
When he's saying that there's something that he wants to do, and I'll be like, okay, do you want me to cook food for that? Like, it's a little bit annoying, but, like, he now knows. If he's like, hey, can so-and-so come for dinner? I'm like, yeah, always make extra. Just always make extra.
That's good. I'll tell y'all my one thing that works, that pretty much anytime we've had boys over, this is my go-to because it's all we've got. Don't have a pool table, don't have a pool, don't have anything. Jackbox, our friends, the Morgans, told us about Jackbox TV. It's a game you can buy through your Xbox, and everyone who has a phone, they log in. You just go to jackbox.tv, and it gives you a code that's just for your party, like your group of people. And you all are playing the game on the screen, and your answers you type into your phone go up on the screen. And it is, they have so many different games. We were playing it last night, even with my family of six. Like, it has become our go-to way to, like, hang out together and have fun. So, Jackbox.
That. Yeah.
It can get naughty. It can get naughty, but let them be a little bit naughty. They're laughing. They're screaming at each other. It's hilarious. So very interactive.
I think we just have to, like, not pretend that our people aren't their own people. You know, like, I don't know. I've really enjoyed kind of getting to know my kids as they're becoming adults. I mean, there's things about them that, like, I don't like, obviously, but there's things about me that they don't like, and that's okay too. But, like, I don't know. I just think being willing to make space is probably the biggest deal of all. And like you were saying, find your thing that you're comfortable doing and just do it on repeat. And so, like, I legitimately have, like, three or four things that I would make for these boys. They each have their own favorite. And so, like, when Walker came home at Thanksgiving, he specifically requested that I make the butter chicken, the good one. He said, I make a couple, the good one. And so, because that's what all the boys wanted. And I was like, I don't feel like making that. It's a lot of effort. And so he was like, come on, Mom, that's what everyone wants. And my husband goes, don't let him bully you into it. And I was like, he's not. But, like, Harrison and Gabe and Hammond and Collins and Johnny and, like, they all are, and Brogan, like, they all, you know? And so it gets to the point where it's like, find the couple of things. And so, like, this time they all wanted to come over and they had another specific thing that I make. But, like, if you can find one or two things that you are confident doing, and I think to myself, like, well, that seems boring. Like, shouldn't I make something different every time? No, because how often do you go to the same restaurant and get the exact same thing because you don't have it that whole time until you go to the restaurant and you get it again? So think about it.
There's comfort in it. There's comfort in knowing I can get this is secure, kind of like the stage that our boys are in. That's like that whole attachment of, like, you being the secure base and them going out and exploring and them coming back and knowing we have Logan, we have butter chicken. I'm okay. Yeah.
They don't need you to be fancy. They just need you to be available. And so
that put that on a shirt.
Yeah.
They don't need you to be fancy. They just need to be available. Logan, our time is up. I'm very sad about it, but I'm very thrilled that you're going to write a cookbook because of all this.
For my own kids, but maybe people will want it.
People can order it. You know, we know fancy things on the internet. You could make a copy for more than one copy.
Come on. Figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me today, and sending out mama hugs for your grieving heart. And no. I know it's tough. Yeah, but it's exciting.
Thanks for having me. I hope I was helpful.
So helpful.
I talk about all this stuff all the time because I love it. I love having kids over, but I don't think it has to be as hard as people want to make it. And to you and to whoever else, like, do not disqualify yourself from being able to host your own people and their people too. Like, just love them well, and they will feel that. And you don't have to be the coolest one. You don't have to be have the coolest house. You just have to want to have them and make space for them to be themselves. And I think they'll come. Build it, cook it, and they will come.
Cook it and they will come. Yes, that's your title of your cookbook. Yes. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So again, we know this is Logan's story and this has worked for Logan, and there is no guilt or shame if this doesn't work for you. Like, some of the ideas I shared with my boys and they're like, Mom, that's not going to work. My friends won't come to our house because of X, Y, and Z. And that's totally fine. I would just encourage you and me to, if it's really important, to pray and ask God to bring to mind what it is that would help your home be a place of gathering, if that is your heart's desire. Also, if it's not your heart's desire, that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't make you less of a mom if that's not in your season right now. My goal was to support those who it is their heart's desire and to give you resources for that. And I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I thank you for community. I thank you for friendships. I thank you that gathering and being with others around a table started for centuries. This has been a way for people to connect. And I love how you gathered with people that were disciples and people that were outsiders. And I pray, Lord, that you would open my eyes to what gathering would look like for our family and our boys' friends, and help give me confidence in areas where I need confidence, and to release things that I need to release, and to trust you in places I need to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. I'll meet you back here next week. Have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone, because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.